Welcome to the Sportscast, December 28th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. You can listen to us 24/7. You can also visit us on the sportscast.net for the latest news. And you can download our app, the Sportscast for iOS, and follow us on Twitter at the Sportscast One. Also Instagram, the Sportscast One. Luka Doncic, 60 points for the Mavericks as they beat the Knicks 126-121. Good news for Luka. Huge win. They also won in Christmas. And join us all the way from the cold tundra of Rochester, New York, Ryan Krista. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Santiago, it's good to be here. I am thankful that I'm not 60 miles to the west in Buffalo. It is crazy. You know, there's been two kind of big storms here, you know, people have been talking about in Buffalo. But the interesting part about being in this area is that you can be so close, but yet so far to a storm. So while Buffalo has got close to 100 inches of snow here in Rochester, we have less than 10 for the season, which is crazy. So very lucky not to be there. But yeah, hopefully everybody had a good Christmas and hoping for a good New Year coming up. But yeah, what a night for
Yeah, big difference from Rochester to Buffalo, and we hope and pray that Buffalo will get out of this mess, and hopefully the Bills did come back. They had a game in Chicago, and they had to take a bus to Buffalo, and when they came back, their cars was covered with snow.
We got in the car when we heard the news. Originally, the plane was supposed to land about 11:15 in Rochester. So, you know, us and a bunch of us, maybe a thousand those fans traveled up to the Rochester airport to see him land, but only to find that it kept on being delayed and delayed. So most people either, you know, went home, you know, came back, you know, wasn't worth missing Christmas dinner, you know, with my parents. So we didn't actually get to see him land, but we tried to.
How do you say it, Rochester or Rochester?
Oh, Rochester. I don't know. So, you know, I don't think it's right or wrong way, you know. But that depends how excited you are to talk about it, you know.
It's true. It doesn't matter. It all sounds the same. All right, so last night, Dallas Mavericks is on a roll. They won on Christmas, and they beat the New York Knicks in overtime. Luka scored 16 points, 21 rebounds, and 10 assists to beat the New York Knicks 126-121. He tied the record for the highest scoring triple-double in NBA history, matching James Harden, 60, for the Houston Rockets and January 30th, 2018, over the Orlando Magic. Ryan, your thoughts over Luka's grand performance last night?
Yeah, you know, we can talk about the 60, but there's two parts. You got to look at the Mavericks were down by 9 points with like 33 seconds left. So the fact that, you know, Luka was great all night, you know, but, you know, he made a crazy play at the end of the game to actually tie it. It kind of gets overshadowed by the 60, you know, point, you know 21 rebound kind of, you know. So everything he did last night, you know, was great. You know, the kid had 50 points the other night, too, against the Rockets, you know. It's not – there's a good – you know, it's fun to watch him. He's a Mavericks fan, you know. I think there's a lot of Luka fans now – before, but you know, I feel like now he's really gaining that popularity, you know, and I respect from most casual NBA fans. But you know, what is scary is that, you know, he scored 50 against the Rockets, they barely won. He scored 60 against the Knicks without, you know, Jalen Brunson and, you know, RJ Barrett from most of the game, and you know, they barely were able to squeak by. So it's good, but you know, it's not something he can carry on for a whole season, you know. That's crazy. So, you know, they've got to be able to, you know, next month or so be active in that trade market. You know, they got some injuries to some role players, you know, but so they need a, you know, Luka, you know, needs his Robin. He's missing Jalen Brunson, San Diego, take a little pressure off him, you know. he's has to be playing some crazy minutes, you know. Again, another game where he didn't, you know, get a rest in the second half, and obviously not overtime. You know, that's a long time, you know, to be playing in an NBA game for. So, magical night, you know, fun night, you know. He was everything you want to say and more, you know. So, great win, you know, for the team. You know, hopefully, again, you know, he can, you know, Sunday was nice because he did, you know, he scored 30, but you got Christian Wood scored 30. You know, Tim Hardaway is making shots. You know, he didn't get that last night, Santiago. He didn't get much out from anybody else, you know. So, the key for the Mavericks is finding that secondary option, consistent option, you know. You know, but the Mavericks, the issue is that your second best player, I believe, is still Christian Wood. You know, center, you know, can shoot the outside shot. Problem is that he doesn't have, Jason Kidd does not have faith to put him in crunch time because he's not a good defender, not a good rebounder for his size. So he's not getting crazy minutes, but they need him at the same time, you know, for his offensive output. And also the point is that he's also on a contract year. So if the Mavericks feel, you know, the trade deadline, that they can't keep him for next year, you know, they're going to have to move on from him, you know, and get something for him. So it'll be interesting to see what, you know, front office will address that and, you know, improving the roster during the clutch run here. Because you can't waste this brilliance that you're getting from Luka. So, you know.
Luka can only do so much. At the end of the game, he said, man, after this, I need a beer.
Yeah. Big, or whatever he said, a recovery beer.
Recovery beer, exactly. As Ryan said, Spencer Dinwiddie had 25 points. Christian Wood, 19 points. And Tim Hardaway Jr., 11 points. As Ryan said, Mavericks need some help. They're currently in the sixth seed at the in the Eastern Conference. So we'll see how much they can go up by the All-Star.
Yeah. West is interesting. West is definitely jumbled up in the middle. You know, they moved up to, you know, went from the ninth to sixth with one victory, but, you know, a couple more victories in a row, they can move up to almost the top, or they could fall out into the playoffs with a couple losses in a row. So we're still waiting for teams, you know, as we get closer to the midway point of the year, to really separate themselves, you know, because we got a big cluster right all together in the West.
And we'll see if the Warriors get into third gear, because they do have some talent there and a little bit of injuries. But once they get healthy, things can get interested in the NBA. All right, we talked about James Harden. Rumors of him going back to the Houston Rockets. He's considered returning. Of course, sources were telling Woj and ESPN. His future at the 76ers remain a fluid proposition. One that has been buoyed. Your thoughts, is Houston the right spot to return for James Harden at this point of his career?
I mean, he would be like that superstar they need. You know, they got some pieces there. I don't know. I mean, he's got a good thing going on with James or the Joel Embiid. We could talk about Luka all day, and I love Luka's my favorite. You know, Mavericks are my favorite team, but Joel Embiid's still playing at a ridiculously level, too, you know.
48 points last night, too.
And a loss, but, you know, still, I mean, he's shelling out each night. Pretty much unguardable down in the post. But, yeah, him and James, or Embiid, have got a good thing going, so I'd be very surprised if he leaves. Yeah, I would, you know, you want to work. The Rockets are just a funky roster. You know, they just got a bunch. They keep on drafting these athletes that kind of don't really fit together. Yeah, they're kind of fun and exciting, and they can score because they're, you know, they're athletic. But, you know, they can't get stops necessarily. You know, they're not fundamentally sound. They're going to have to make some adjustments, you know. I really don't see the path they're going. So I don't really see him, James Harden, returning. I mean, that might be where he wants to play. I think he's fine at their organization. I don't know. You're trying to get in the mind of these
Maybe
guys.
Maybe he's pressuring the Sixers to get better players before the trade deadline.
It might be. I mean, I think the Sixers, when you know, now that Harden, you know, Harden's doing what he's doing, you know, he's not doing too much. He's, you know, he's moving the ball, you know, and when Harden is a facilitator and moving, you know, moving that ball and it doesn't get stuck with him, he's very good, you know, very productive player, and his team's pretty good at it. So I like the way they're playing. I don't know if they're the best. I don't think they're better than the Celtics, but it wouldn't surprise me in the end of the day if they overcome the Celtics and Bucks in the playoffs.
Sixers are currently situated in the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference, behind the Cavaliers, Nets, Bucks, and the Celtics. Let's move into the
Nets. I mean, that's another team coming on strong. You know, this is the next team that I think everybody thought we'd see. You know,
it doesn't matter who's coaching, right?
Yeah, I mean, Kyrie and Durant are playing great together. And then, you know, Simmons is just kind of there. he's not hurting him. He's not helping. He's not the reason why they're winning, but he's, you know, his weaknesses are hurting them. So good things coming, you know, for the next the East. For so many years, we talked about the West being the dominant conference. But this, especially this year, you know, with the Cavs being very consistent with Donovan Mitchell, you know, we just talked about the Sixers. We talked Celtics, I mean, 1-2 combination, Tatum, Brown. It's tough. It's a tough conference, you know. And then you got a bunch of, I think, really good teams, you know. I mean, the team that Mavericks played last night, when they're healthy, the Knicks are a good team. The Hawks are a good team. I mean, your Heat, I don't know what's going on there, but they got to figure that out. But...
Yeah, the NBA is still shuffling around.
Yeah, they need something that definitely, you know, I mean, they're getting hampered by bad contracts a little bit with Kyle Lowry. But, the Eastern Conference is tough, very tough conference. So, it'll be interesting to see it. You know, the West may produce a champion when the Warriors get healthy and they get clicking again. Yeah, but we'll see.
We'll see what happens. NBA still shuffling. It's only December, Ryan. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
February is when you see things.
Fun fact, though, before we move on for the NBA, going into last night, over the last 20 seasons, when a team is trailing by 9 points with 35 or less seconds, they were 0-13,884. That's how crazy
they ever come back to West
for the
Mavs. Fun fact, Mavericks. Ryan is staying optimistic about their chances. We'll see what happens. I like Lucas Carr. I like his performance on the court. Things are moving towards his way. We'll see if he gets his chip that he's been striving for the past couple of years. Let's go into the NFL. Brian goes fire head coach. Hack it. After going through a 4-11 start, and they had a huge loss against the Rams this past weekend. Broncos did not have more patience with Nathaniel Hackett. Jerry Rosberg is the interim coach. Your thoughts? Was it time?
It was time. You're right. I know it's only 15 games in, but I mean, the team was going nowhere, and they were competing in close games, and now it wasn't. You know, they were getting blown out. I mean, the effort they showed on Christmas Day was, you know, it's kind of, you know, the new owner, you know, saw that, and I think he just said that enough is enough. You know, I mean, Hackett, you know, when they were playing well, they were terrible at mismanaging time, you know. I mean, he did single handedly those games, but he wasn't, you know, the way he was, you know, coaching from the sidelines wasn't helping. You know, there was just, you know, invisible altercations between players on the sidelines. It wasn't a good look. It was just, I think they were going to fire him no matter what after the season, you know, because remember, these guys, Hackett was hired before the new ownership took over. So this wasn't their guy. So they're going to be looking for their man coming up next coaching Thursday.
Have a suggestion that might happen, but I want to wait and finish your thought.
I mean, would you love somebody like a offensive mind like Sean Payton? I think so.
You took that name out of my head. I mean, before the firing, I'm not sure if this was coincidence or conspiracy, but a day before, there was an article. Sean Payton is putting his staff together. Former Broncos coach Fangio was also named under that coaching staff. Is this – what do you think about that, Sean Payton coaching the Broncos?
Well, I mean, I'd love to have Fangio as our defensive coordinator. I mean, this guy we got right now, you know, other than last week, you know, defense is playing good. But, I mean, Fangio's defenses, the Broncos weren't the issue. I mean, we have to say, Fangio and Hackett, the first month, 2 months of the season are the same coach. You know, you get close, you just can't – they just are losing close game after close game, you know. Whether it's Drew Lock at quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, Russell Wilson, it's the same thing over and over again the last 2 years, you know. So you're just looking for that right chemistry, that right guy. It doesn't have to be Sean Payton. There's other offensive minds out there. You know, you just got to have somebody who's going to talk. You know, you got to have Russell Wilson as your quarterback because you signed him to this contract. This is a desperate situation the Broncos are in, Santiago. You've got Russell Wilson on the books for 6 more years at a huge amount of money. You know, each year you go by his buyout or, you know, being able to release him doesn't hurt you as much as the cap. But you have to keep him next year because it's unrealistic to release him. So you've got to find a coach that, you know, can look Russell Wilson in the eye and say, let's get it done, you know, let's do it. Because you can't go get help from the draft because you just traded your first pick for Russell Wilson. You could have picked next year from the Dolphins for Bradley Chubb, but that's not going to help you this year. So you're a tough predicament as an organization, you know. So you got to ride it out with Russell Wilson, you know, this year. The rest of the season, I mean, next year, and you kind of maybe you find that coach. And if not, you know, if this coach deems Russell, you know, unworkable, you know, past his prime, then you kind of bite the bullet, release them, which would kind of hurt your salary cap by still, you know, and you'll kind of prevent them from building up the roster, but you'll move off of that contract. It'll probably cost, you know, George Payton's job, the GM who gave him that huge contract. But as here nor there, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, when you have a firing and now you're going against, I think, you know, the best team, and that's Kansas City, the sweet team Kansas City. It's kind of got the makings of an epic either game, you know, where they come out and they, you know, get this crazy victory, or an epic disaster where they just get, you know, mopped over like they did on Christmas Day. So we'll see what type of, you know, professionalism the Broncos can show this week as a team and organization, you know. Like I said, you know, it doesn't really help. You know, most times, you know, at this point you want your team to lose. You're okay with it because you want to prove their draft status. But, you know, with no first-round pick, you know, who cares? You know, go out and win that game this week.
And this morning, Broncos CEO Greg Penner says Denver's next head coach will report to him, not general manager George Patton.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that?
I think that's very interesting, you know, that approach. You don't see that very much in, you know, the NFL. You know, the owner will have the ultimate choice, you know, who and the head coach, you know, choosing him and firing him, but it's ultimately got to be the best relationship. The relationship has got to be, you know, perfect between the GM and head coach. They got to be on the same page. So he did kind of reiterate that, you know, he didn't report to him, but the ability for George Payton to work, you know, with the next head coach is, you know, imperative. But that's what kind of leads me to believe that, you know, I don't know if it's going to be a Sean Payton. Sean Payton is going to want to basically run the organization too. He's going to want to be the GM too. Maybe not by name, but, you know, really being a factor in picking the roster. So I'll see if that's something that the Broncos are willing to give their next head coach.
A reorganization in the Broncos. We'll see if it's for the better good or for the worse. Let's see what happens. Anyways, we're out of time, Ryan, but a quick prediction, Fiesta Bowl, TCU versus Michigan. Who you got there?
I'm going to go Michigan. I think it's too good. I see here's a great story, but, you know, run it, hit midnight here for that, Cinderella.
Peach Bowl, number 4, Ohio State versus number 1, Georgia.
Ooh, this is the one we're all been waiting for. Same thing. Two huge big brands playing each other in a big game like that. No better than I want to spend my New Year's Eve eating Chick-fil-A, maybe while watching a Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, you know. So we'll see. I'm going to go Georgia because I just think they're just that good. I think the Ohio State team we saw against Michigan isn't the true Ohio State team. I think they're going to give their best shot. And I think it's going to be just a whale of a game, you know. Two heavyweights, you know, throwing punches at each other for 3 hours. I think Georgia's just a little bit more talented.
Georgia is a monster. We'll see what happens. I will consider Chick-fil-A watching the Peach Bowl. Ryan, what is the best way to reach you online to ask you, hey, what are good, healthy items from Chick-fil-A that I should order?
Mad Dog Report on Twitter. Yeah, I see the San Diego. If you want to get your inside information on the college football playoffs, you should turn on to that preview show, though.
Preview show tonight, Top 25 Rundown, hosted by Alan West. He'll have Garrett Franks and Chris Carlovello. They'll break it down and see what happens. Who do you think will win? If you're trying to gamble or not. Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or the Sportscast One on Twitter, which you can watch tonight's show there, or on YouTube, the Sportscast One as well. And follow us along, and we'll be all college football. World Cup's done. College football is now going. January NFL playoffs, January football. Anyways, Ryan, great to hear your voice again. And I'm glad you're safe in Rochester.
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you, and God bless everybody. Happy New Year.
And this was your episode.